Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am grateful again to be in the land of the living on this side of heaven. To God be the glory, and I give him all the honor and the praise. While we yet live, we rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast. And I pray that your day has been a blessed day. And I pray that whatever may have come against you in any way, shape, or form, that you rebuked it in the name of Jesus, that you stepped on the head of the devil and called it finished, that you gave God the glory in every little imp that tried to come against you today. Because we are children of light, we rejoice in the Lord. For no weapon formed against us shall prosper, because we are a child of the Most High God. Praise the Lord. Today is going to be a good day. The lesson today is going to be a beautiful day, a beautiful lesson. And our topic today for study is ashes into beauty. That's right, ashes into beauty. And you may ask the question, what does that mean? What does she mean by ashes into beauty? Well, let's look at this. Let's look at it from this perspective. And before we get started, I would like to pray a prayer of praise and allow the Lord to just speak to our heart today, that we are prepared to receive the beauty that he has for us today in this lesson. And we're just going to look at some rich things. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come to the throne of grace in prayer, we humbly ask and make our petition known to you, Lord, that you would saturate our heart, breathe upon us, and reveal to us the beauty that you want us to see through these passages today, that your very word would turn these ashes into beauty. Allow your word to speak to our heart, purify us, and reveal to us what you want us to know. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, and thank you for praying with me. And let's look at our lesson, Ashes into Beauty. Now, before we became a child of God, for those of you who are saved, for those of you who have confessed that you are a Christ follower, before we became a child of God, we were dirty, filthy rags, just a pile of ashes that needed a crown of beauty. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, according to Romans 8:1. The ashes that became or that become beauty is the acceptance of Jesus Christ through salvation. So we're going to look at those piles of ashes from a spirit-filled life. Ashes into beauty. So now, I want to give you my points, and for those of you who study with me, you already know my format, and I love to do word studies. I love to give 3 points, no more than that. I love for us to move through the pages of the Bible as they whisper what they need to whisper to each and every one of us, as we come ready, willing, and able. So, topic is ashes into beauty. And we know that prior to our salvation, we were nothing but filthy rags. And point one is, I have been saved. That's point one. I have been saved. Point two, I'm being saved. And point three, I am saved. So if you can make note of those points, and I will say them again. Topic, ashes into beauty. And point one, I have been saved. Point two, I'm being saved. And point three, I am saved. Now let's look at some scripture reading. And we're going to go into Isaiah. So for you note takers, please make note of these rich scripture passages so that when you get private study time after the broadcast or when you decide to sit down with the Lord and just kind of move through his scriptures and allow them to teach you and reveal to you, then you'll have a lot more time to really dig in. But we're going to look at Isaiah 61. And we're going to start reading at verse 1. And we're going to read 1 through verse 3. So if you would get your Bibles in the Old Testament, after the book of Isaiah, after the book of Song of Solomon is the book of Isaiah. And we're in chapter 63. And I'm going to read these verses from the New King James Translation. First, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of revenge, or the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, that he may be glorified. Underline that in your Bible. Verse 3, the very last sentence, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now let's read, I'm going to read this same passage, different translation, in the new International Version, NIV. Verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to teach or to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor,
and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And for those of you who may have the NIV translation, underline that verse, that sentence in verse 3. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Amen. And lastly, I want to read this rich verse in the New Living Translation. I love to read in different translations, and I encourage you to get several Bibles that are different translation, or invest in a parallel Bible. A parallel Bible that may have three or four different translations. Because when you read certain passages in the Bible, and it may not stick the first time when you read it or even reread it, you can read across the different translations and they'll give you more depth and understanding of what the passage is trying to reveal to us when we read it. So this would be a beautiful tool to have in your library, is a parallel Bible that has different translations in them. So this is Isaiah 61 in the New Living Translation, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to announce that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the day of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemy. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair. For the Lord has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his glory. And if you happen to have a New Living Translation Bible, again, you would underline that last sentence, indicating, for the Lord has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. Now, I hope you enjoyed reading that passage, and I pray and hope the Holy Spirit may have revealed a nugget or two to you as we read this passage together. And as I reread the passage with you, he revealed even more richness to me concerning myself. Now, this is concerning the prophet Isaiah several centuries ago. But it is still just as rich and pertinent and applicable to you as well as myself. Now remember, ashes into beauty is the lesson. And as I said in the intro, before we became a child of God, we were of dirty rags, a filthy rag, a pile of ashes that needed a crown of beauty. And of course, in this passage, it is explained to us that the good news of salvation, that the year of the Lord's favor, good news for the oppressed, is coming. And Isaiah, in the first verse of this passage, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was upon him because the Lord has anointed him. Now, we can make this personal. We can certainly do that. As we read these passages in Scripture, we can make this personal to us. And it would read this way: the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon Carnita, because the Lord has anointed Carnita. And put your name there. It makes it more impactful when you read it with a personal invitation to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor or glory. He be glorified. Let's look at our points. For those who may have tuned into the broadcast, we are looking at ashes into beauty. We just read Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, verses 1 through 3, and our points are: I have been saved, I'm being saved, and I am saved. Let's look at point one. I have been saved. Now, keeping things simplistic, and for the understanding of those, or for those who need to regurgitate with what they're learning, with what we're learning today, so that you can, according to the scripture that we just read, so that you can bestow on them crown of beauty. Keeping things simple, I have been saved. Think about yourself. And before we get started into the points, I want to pray. I want to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I do not want to assume that every listener to this broadcast on the World Wide Web, or that's tuned in on their devices, I do not want to assume that you're saved, that you have not had anyone to approach you or even extend to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is salvation. So, brothers and sisters who partner with me on a regular basis on this broadcast, if you could pray with me that those who may be listening, who may not even be sure that they are, saved. Pray for them and those who are listening who may not be sure or have not given your life or your heart to Christ. Then repeat after me before we move forward. If you would, bow your head, you humble your heart. Again, it's my words, but your heart. And set your mind on Jesus. And just humble yourself before him. So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord, turn my ashes into beauty. I believe by faith that your blood on the cross covered my sins. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I need you, Lord Jesus. Please forgive me for my sins. I ask in Jesus' name, please dwell in my heart. Be Lord over my life. Clean me from the inside out. Make me new. I believe that you are my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I hope that you have prayed that prayer along with me and that you believe by faith that you are saved. You do not have to doubt. You do not have to be in despair or dismayed. Just believe. And now that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, find a Bible-believing church that teaches doctrinal truth and be baptized as a witness of letting the world know that you are now a Christ follower. And confess before man that Jesus is your Lord. And be discipled in church or a small group Bible study or Sunday school on a regular basis, that you would grow and go in grace. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me, for partnering with me, and being in like-minded for those that we prayed the prayer of salvation. Now let's move forward. I have been saved. And we're going to look in the book of Romans. And this is perfect for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And most of us, brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that Romans is known as the Romans Road of Salvation or the Romans Road. But we're going to go to Romans 8. So if you would move to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Point 1, I have been saved. Now, let's look at Romans 1. And I'm going to read this in the NIV translation. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's reread that. Therefore, there is now, let me not read over that word. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, that's you and me, in order that the righteousness requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. We call that the flesh in the New King James Version. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, I want you to underline that word, if. The Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ, plain and simple. But that word underscore if. Christ is in you and me. Your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now that one verse, verse 10, packs power in just with what it said. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, not might, not hopefully, but in the NIV translation it says will, in verse 11, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And we're going to stop right there. Now, remember, my first point, the first point, is I have been saved. We just prayed prayer of salvation. And I prayed that you prayed with me for those who weren't sure and for those who know they have not accepted Jesus Christ. I have been saved. Romans 8, verses 1 through 11. Now, what have we been saved from? Now, according to verses 1 through 11 in Romans 8, it says, I have been saved, according to my first point, but we have been saved from the penalty of sin. We just read that in chapter 8 of Romans. I have been saved from, and if you would make note of that, I have been saved from the penalty of sin. We were penalized by the sin nature that we were born into because of the fall of man back in Genesis from the very beginning, Adam. But thanks be to God, we have a Redeemer. We have the sacrificial Lamb, the perfect Lamb. His blood, and only His blood, covered our sins, covered us from the penalty of sin. We read this in Romans 8, and we saw that in verses 1 through 7. And it says specifically in verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sin nature, but by the Spirit. And I love the three ifs. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if no one does not have the Spirit of Christ, 10, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So I have been saved from, and you can capitalize that in your notes, from the penalty of sin, only by Jesus Christ. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. No man can come to the Father only by Him. He is the only way. But thanks be to God, He died on that cross for you and me. He walked down Calvary's. He hung, bled, and died on that old rugged cross. Stretched him wide, dropped him low, and he bled. And he took on the sins of the whole world. We're in a season of time, according to our calendar, where we are approaching what we've called the holiday, where we start reflecting on what Jesus has done for you and me. We give thanks during the time of Thanksgiving, and we reflect back on what He did in our lives. What He brought us through when we were in the valley or the lowest points of our life. How He brought us out of the muck and miry clay. How He pulled us up from a state of depression. How He breathed in our nostrils for our hearts to beat again. How He has placed us in our right mind when we were on a road of destruction. He pulled us off of that wide road, and He led us like the great shepherd that He is on the straight and narrow path of righteousness. For some of us who may have been on drugs in the back alley of a crack house, He delivered you from that down spiral of death. For someone who may have been engaged in a lifestyle of adultery, playing the field, and it became a mindset, he has transformed your mind from the ways of the world. He has set you free from being captive in a lifestyle of having multiple relationships with married men or multiple relationships with married women. He set you free from captivity of a lifestyle that you know was contrary to what or how we were taught by our parents. And even if you had parents that did not teach you what you know is right, they did not lead by example. Now you have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He paid it all. He was the propitiation for our sins. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ could we be redeemed. We have been justified through Christ and Christ alone. As we read, therefore, there is now, right now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, as I've accepted salvation for myself, I have been saved from the penalty of sin. And according to Romans 8:1 through verse 11, it lets me know that Jesus paid it all. It lets me know that because of Christ, I am brand new. Because of Christ and what he did at the cross, I am born again. This is a very important nugget for every believer in Christ Jesus to know how to repeat, to know how to express it, to know how to be excited about it, because we are a new creature. Born again. How can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? Is what one of the religious leaders came in the night to ask Jesus. How can a man be born again? And Jesus had to educate one who supposed to have been an educator. I have been saved from the penalty of sin. Let's look at point two. I'm being saved. I'm being saved. Now that's called sanctification. Sanctification, meaning holy and set apart. Not being conformed to the ways of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Sanctification. I'm being saved as I work out my soul's salvation. I work it out now. Let's look at some scripture. Now, I am being saved brings me to this note, and I want you to make note of these three types of people: natural man. So if you would write that down, natural man, that's the unsaved. The second is carnal man, or carnality, C-A-R-N-A-L, carnal man, or we could say carnal person, natural person, carnal person, and the third is spirit-filled person. I'm being saved. And underneath that, the three types of persons, or men, woman, natural, carnal, spirit-filled. Now, what do I mean by a natural man? We read that in Romans 8, and it talked about, in verse, we'll start at 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. As a natural man, we run to sin, which brings death. We run and we desire it. We crave it. We thirst for it. Talking about the natural man, the unsaved person, which leads to death, eternal death. The second type of person, carnal, carnality, meaning half-hearted, selfish Christian. Saved, but they're half-hearted, they're selfish, they're self-centered, living in the flesh. There's a lot of those. Could be us. But again, say going to heaven, but their lifestyle is not reflecting sanctification, set apart, holy. It's not reflecting a spirit-led life. Matthew talks about where the grains of sand, the seed and the sower, the grains of sand fell on the ground. Some were scorched, some fell on stony ground, some were on rocky ground, some were on fertile ground. And that fertile ground brings me to the third person, spirit-filled, who yields the Holy Spirit, who has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a lifestyle of Christ. They thrive Christ. They thirst Christ. They rejoice in Christ and don't have a problem letting anybody know. They speak about Jesus. A spirit-led or filled person. Now, I want to look at, I'm being saved in these three types of persons. Now, we know I don't have to spend any time at all on the natural man, because that was you and me before we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We could talk for days about a lifestyle that was prior to our salvation, before we became in intimacy, before we were in intimacy with Christ Jesus. Our focus today is that the ashes are turned into beauty. And the ashes were the natural man. Now, being saved means that you have the Holy Spirit inside, but the carnal man, the question to him or her is, does the Holy Spirit have you? And remember, the flesh is raging war against the Spirit that lives inside of the believer. And so the flesh wants what it wants, and the Spirit that lives inside wants what it wants. And so as a half-hearted Christian or believer in Christ Jesus, they're going to straddle the fence in lifestyle. They will justify their wrong, believing that it's right. They're so focused on themselves and not others. Carnality. So the question is, does the Holy Spirit have you? We are to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's a Spirit-filled believer. He takes control of our life, and we are to submit to that third person, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, when we are Spirit-filled, when the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is sitting on the throne of our heart, then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He gives us strength. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 19. We're going to look at verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. But according to the carnal Christian, that he's his own. But the Spirit-filled Christian knows that he is not his own. You were bought at a price, in verse 20. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. And if we back it up to verse 18, flee from sexual immorality, all other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Let's look at Ephesians 5:18. Now, we're still on the point of I'm being saved. And we are to work it out. And when I say work it out, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that does live inside of every believer in Christ Jesus. But the question is, does the Holy Spirit have you? And when we are working out our soul salvation, when we are learning how to live a sanctified life, a life that is different from the world, a spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-yielding life, then we are working out those beautiful fruit within us called the fruit of the Spirit, God's character that shines through us. You know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace and patience, goodness and kindness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Those fruit are talked about in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Some may come out a lot more tasteful than others. I don't have a problem with self-control. I don't have a problem with kindness coming out or through me. I don't have a problem with love, patience. But some of us, brothers and sisters, may struggle with some of these particular characteristics. Some may not experience joy of the Lord as we ought. Some of us may really struggle with patience, but do very well with control or love. But the bottom line is, we are to allow, submit to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to control our lives. That those in a world of darkness, those that are in a world of sin and lust and self-centeredness and the thirst of the flesh, will see that we are different. We are in this world, yes, but we are not to be of it. Opposite of what they do, how they think, and how they speak. We are to try our best to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, direct us, shape us, mold us, purify us, that the fruit of the Spirit would shine so bright that people would not have a problem knowing that you, my brothers and sisters, are truly a Spirit-filled woman and man of God. For the sake of time, we've got just a few more minutes, and I want us to look at Ephesians 5, and then I will finish and complete this lesson, Ashes into Beauty, On next week, we will look at the last point. I am saved. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And people will know. They will see that you're different because you're not doing what they do or acting the way they act. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God for the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. This is how people know that we are different. We do not have to not enjoy life and the pleasures that life brings to a believer, but we are not to be carnal-minded. We are not to be backslidden to where the world can't recognize a believer in Christ Jesus from themselves. The more we read God's word, the more we spend time with God in prayer and Bible study, the more we start illuminating his character. But the more we sit in front of TV and watch movies and watch Entertainment Tonight and watch things that cause us to wish we could be them, that is so not what we should be doing or want. We desire the things of the Lord that shape us and mold us to live opposite of what the world does. Will you be talked about? Will you be looked upon? Will you be whispered about? Yes, you will. If you haven't been already, but count it all joy. Count it all joy because his grace is sufficient. His strength becomes our strength. Remember where he brought you from. Remember what you used to do. Remember how you used to talk. Remember how you used to think and hurt others. And now you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed. And you no longer desire the things that you may have, you used to. Those things are detestable to you. Lying, deceiving, only thinking about self, self-absorbed. Remember, we talked about that being a half-hearted Christian, a carnal man, living in the flesh. But this nature that you have, it's called new. This nature brings you to eternity. A spirit-filled nature. So I pray that the points in this lesson, Ashes into Beauty, have so touched your heart or revealed a beautiful nugget to you to where you could grab a hold to it, go deeper in the Word of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to just pull you along the pages, that your mind will be broadened, that your mind would be transformed and renewed, that you would be empowered to go and tell it on the mountain. He's good. He's able. He's faithful. Always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away. But you can rest assured that the Word of God will remain forever and ever. We will pick this lesson up again on next week. You can always revisit this broadcast 24/7, 24 hours a day. And all you have to do is go on www.blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart MFTH. And that's heart, the number two, heart, and that's mission from the heart, MFTH. And you can revisit this broadcast and share it with someone in your circle of influence. This brings us to the end of our broadcast, and I thank you for your faithfulness, and God bless.